Transmission.
All right, hello, and welcome to this daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. In the background behind me, you can probably hear the wonderful beat, the wonderful electronic beat. And if you can tell me what machine is making this very famous beat, you will win a prize. And if you can tell me what famous song used this exact beat made from this exact machine, I will say congratulations, but you will not win a prize because everybody should know this one. Let's listen to it some more. Oh, listen to that horrible noise floor. That's some 70s electronics. Yeah. Love that sound. If you don't know what song this beat was that made famous by, wait, did I say that right? Am I speaking English? Wait, allons-y. I'll give you a hint. Da, da, da. All right, enough of this horrible noise. Let's turn this thing off. And you want to hear the demo song? Maybe hearing the demo on this little machine will clue you in as to what machine it is. Now, how do I turn on the demo? I don't know. There it is. Wow. Patch changes. Can you believe that? On the fly, patch changes. Na 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 na. Marchons, marchons. It's kind of the French national anthem, but not. Oh, enough of this horrible noise. Let's get rid of this. Doo-doo-doo, bye, horrible noise. Turn this bad boy off. Clip, clip, clip. And what else are we going to talk about today? Do you want to talk about radios? Because I like talking about radios, and we're on the radio. You're listening to a non-radio right now. Maybe not as radio as radio used to be, but it's still fairly radio-ish. And when it comes to radios, one of my favorites, and I can't really say that I have a favorite or a top 10, but geez, one of the ones I love the most out of all the radios I own, and I don't own that many, less than a dozen, but I'm holding it right here in my hand, the Standard Micronic Ruby. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I do own and I'm very happy to have a Micronic Ruby. The Micronic Ruby was built in 1964 by the Standard Radio Company of Japan, and it is very small. It is the smallest transistor radio that is completely self-contained that was ever made. And it's got 8 transistors, it's got a speaker, it's got 2 little knobs on it, 2 little dials, just like any old radio would, and it measures 1 3/8 inches wide, or 3.5 centimeters. It is 2 inches tall, or 5 centimeters, and it is let's see here. One, yeah, just just a hair over 3/4 inch thick, or call it 2 centimeters. And it's a perfectly functioning tiny little radio. Let's turn it on and test it out here. Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
Some of it looked a little bit like football from time to time.
We'll keep working on that part. It's time for a Husker football.
This thing is the size of a matchbox. And when I say matchbox, I don't mean a little toy car. I mean an actual box of matches. That's the size of this thing. This thing is the size of your iPod.
No availability in that one, so it's about go time, Greg.
It's about go time.
I am glad. It's with this on right now, we're here, no doubt. Well, Coach Riley met with the media earlier today before he hopped on with us for an hour and gave an update.
That's great, but I don't know who Coach Riley is, and I don't care which team he coaches, because there is only one sport, and you know what it is. Oh, I'm going to put the beautiful standard Micronic Ruby back in its case. It's got like a little watch case. It says standard on it, so you can carry this case around in your pocket so you don't lose the radio. And then take your cool-ass radio out. I mean, this is some serious James Bond stuff. 1964 this thing was made.
And Michael Rose Ivy's one of them. Jonathan Rose is one of them. Stephen.
I'm sure Jonathan Rose is one of them, but Jonathan Rose does not own a standard Micronic Ruby. I might have paid a little bit too much for that standard Micronic Ruby. I must have bought that 10 or 15 years ago. But it did come with the case in perfect condition, and it came with the paperwork, and it came with the manual and everything, and oh, it's just a beauty. And if you're interested in a standard Micronic Ruby, you can find them on eBay and other places. Just look around, and I would say don't pay more than about $150 for one, depending on condition and all the stuff it comes with. It's up to you. And I'm looking across the room here, and I'm looking at another one of my favorite radios. Not nearly as cool or as old as the standard Micronic Ruby. It's just a Sangean. I think it's the 505 model, but it's black boxed because it's got the Radio Shack label on it. Thank you. Yeah, they were unloading this bad boy for about $60 some years ago. And I'm looking at it going, I think this is a Sangean. I went home, looked it up. Yep, it's a Sangean. Went back to the store and bought it. And now I use it for, it's a great shortwave DXer. It's a good AM DXer, or medium wave if you know radio talk. It's got long wave. Oh, and it's so cool. I like to play it. I would hook it up and we'd play with it right now, but we got some atmospheric conditions here that are not conducive to the propagation of radio signals. And so when I turned it on a minute ago off the air, it was just all quack. I was hoping we could listen to some WWV in the hopes that maybe other listeners could learn UTC and hopefully avoid confusion in the future, but that's probably too much to ask. Oh, and over here we have another very interesting radio device. This is a variation on a device I call the Baby Blaster, and one day I was in a thrift store just perusing, looking for junk to make funny electronic devices out of, and I found a little kid's walkie-talkie. You know, you've seen them, they sell them in packs of two. They're not very good. And whenever you're in a thrift store, you can always just find one, because that other one got lost by the kid many, many years ago. So I was looking at this thing, and I had a horrible idea. And I was walking down some shelves, and I saw a cassette player, one of those mini, you know, like a Walkman-style cassette tape player. And I thought, oh, now wait a second. So I bought the handheld walkie-talkie, the kid's walkie-talkie, for like $1. The tape, the cassette player, for $3. And then I thought, well, what am I going to put all this in? And I kept walking up and down the aisles until I found a plastic pencil box. And you can see where this is going. So I went home and I took the walkie-talkie apart, and I modified it so that it was always in transmit. I just soldered a couple contacts together so it was a transmit only radio, and then I wired a little cable between the speaker output, the headphone output of the cassette, and into the input of the walkie-talkie, which is, you know, just that one transducer. These cheap transducers, you just use a regular speaker for the microphone and the speaker. And with just a little bit of impedance matching and a little resistor and a capacitor to make the level match, I now have a miniature pirate radio station in a box. Just record whatever you want on that tape that's in the cassette deck, put it on auto repeat, hit play, make sure everything's got batteries in it, and the antenna's sticking out of the box. You go leave that somewhere, and anybody who happens to be listening to 49.86 hertz can hear your little pirate radio station. What's on that frequency other than children's walkie-talkies? Well, more than you might think. Anything that you find in a store that is just junk toy stuff for kid and it's radio related, that's what it uses. The other thing you might like to know is that baby monitors use that frequency. So if you have somebody who's been annoying you and they have a baby and you'd like to keep them up all night, all you gotta do is go to a thrift store, find a children's walkie-talkie. Just get the junkiest one. You only need one, you don't need two. Take it home and, again, modify it so it's always on transmit. Just, all you need to do is solder a couple lugs together. And then, this is the interesting part, most of these children's walkie-talkies always have a little Morse code key on them. And so when you can practice your Morse code, because that's what little kids want to do, is learn a new language. And this beepy button thing, you know, you push the button, it goes beep, beep, beep. So what you want to do now is short that out so that it is always beeping, so that the oscillator is always going beep through the transmitter. That's another very simple thing to do. All you got to do is short that switch out, and that thing is always howling. Now, all you got to do now is put a battery in it, and then just go put that somewhere in the front yard of anyone with a baby who has a baby monitor, and their baby monitor will pick up that wee constantly until the battery on your little toy runs out. So go back every week and replace the 9-volt battery in your baby blaster. Oh, I probably shouldn't have told you that, give you bad ideas, but you gotta understand, there's people out there like me who are looking to do weird stuff. So you don't want to piss us off, because we're just going to do weird stuff like hack your baby monitor. So while you're sitting there thinking about hacking baby monitors, I'm going to take a little break, get me a drink, and in the meantime, why don't you listen to this? And I think it was Buckminster Fuller who said that his name was so full of action. No, that he was so full of action that his name should be a verb. And you know, I should know that better since Bucky Fuller is one of my greatest heroes. Oh, he was so full of action, his name should be a verb. How do you conjugate that? I Fuller, you Fuller, he, she, and it Fullers. We Fuller, they Fuller, we all, they all Fuller. They will Fuller, I will Fuller, you will Fuller. Or is it like the whole thing? You know, they used his whole name when they named the molecules, the allotropes, the carbon allotropes, Buckminster Fullerenes. Okay, that's really long. So do we have to use Buckminster Fuller as the entire verb, I Buckminster Fuller? But I don't understand what the verb actually is. Is it a transitive verb? Is it an intransitive verb? Oh, you're listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and I'm so full of description that my name should be an adverb. That's some good humor there. And I'm not talking about the ice cream. Okay, next on the agenda, I decided I'm going to read a passage from two of my favorite books to you. This passage is only 1 minute long, and I'm going to do it in an interesting manner. I'm going to test the stereo separation of Anon Radio. So I'm going to read these passages simultaneously, one in the right channel, one in the left channel. So tune your radio or use your computer to set your stereo settings panned hard one way or the other. Go left or go all right. Otherwise, you're going to hear gibberish instead of just one thing. So I'm going to give you another couple seconds to get your stereo separation situation straightened out, and then I'm going to start reading. Okay, is everybody ready? Excellent. Here we go.
Chapter 4,
who knew
in which
much.
Piglet meets a
Friday
Heffalump.
Night arrived exactly when
one day,
I thought it would.
When Christopher Robin
Friday,
and Winnie the Pooh and Piglet were all talking together,
Christopher Robin, by the time I was ready to leave for the party,
said carelessly,
my face glowed with the power of a thousand
today,
Roman
Piglet?
Candles. I took
what
the shine
doing?
Down with a little
asked
rice
Piglet.
Powder and I
just
outlined
along,
my eyes in coal.
Christopher Robin,
with such a dramatic look,
saw
naturally the clothes
I
must fall
once,
on the face's lead.
Piglet.
So I went
least,
for an oriental
I think
motif.
I did.
I chose a quilted
only
satin mouth jacket,
it wasn't.
The back of which
so
was
I,
embroidered with
Pooh,
one of those
lurid
Japanese woodcuts
like.
Of an over-endowed
well,
man
often, said
having
Robin,
sex with two
carelessly.
Women. Below the waist,
now,
I adorned
Piglet.
Myself
not at
with
this time of
cotton
year,
drawstring
Pooh.
Karate pants, a jade cock
about
ring,
something else
and to make it really
until
show,
it was time for
bound
Pooh and
feet.
Piglet to go home together.
The end. And I'm sure you will all recognize the passages that I read from the classics of literature that they are. Of course, I was reading from Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne and Buddy Babylon, the autobiography of Buddy Cole by Buddy Cole, of course. Stay tuned in future episodes where I'll read more of my favorite passages from other works of literature in stereo.
We are sorry. This line is only accessible between the hours of 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you have any questions regarding this message, please contact your compliance monitor.
And I am your compliance monitor, and you must comply. My name's Tobe. You're listening to Anon Radio. And we're in the middle of a very important daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. Earlier today, I wanted a donut. Or at least I thought I wanted a donut. And I started thinking about donuts. And what kind of donut I might want to eat. And I started thinking about the donut weirdness here. And the trouble with donut shops, and the reason I bring it up, is we just recently had Dunkin' Donuts come back to town. Dunkin' Donuts got chased out of this city, Omaha, back in like the 70s due to, I don't know, the donut population pressure. We've got good bakeries here, and we've got people here making really good donuts, and couldn't support any chains. Who would go to a chain when you can get a homemade donut? And there was another place, the only other chain, I don't know if it was a national chain or just regional, but we had Mr. Donut, and they were actually pretty good. And it was that way until the 80s when Winchell's moved in, and Winchell's put Mr. Donut out of business, but the locals are still around. Then in the late 80s and early 90s, while Winchell's was ruling the roost, then all the grocery stores had started putting in in-store bakeries, you know, like we all have now, and started making donuts, and some of them are good, some of them aren't. And the grocery store by me, a regional chain based out of Iowa, yeah, that's actually kind of good. Their pâte à choux is pretty decent. Some of their stuff isn't so great. Their icings aren't very good, but some of the actual donuts are fairly decent. Then there's also this place downtown, Donut Stop, that I could dedicate a whole episode to, because you can go there at like 3 o'clock in the morning and get hot donuts. And then, of course, in the late, when was it, the late 90s or early 2000s, Krispy Kreme moved in. And boy, oh boy, we thought that was going to wipe Winchell's out. And some of the Winchell's locations closed. One of them actually moved. And Krispy Kreme enjoyed a hot popularity there for a few months until everybody realized that they really are crap. They're just the worst donuts I've ever had. It's like, who thinks this is good? I'm shocked. My brother, he seems to like the coffee. He lives elsewhere. But when he was down south, apparently Krispy Kreme in the south has great coffee. And I don't know. I wouldn't know. I don't drink coffee. And so now, I'm surprised, you know, Krispy Kreme exploded. They were even taking donuts into grocery stores, and you could get them just about anywhere until people stopped eating them because they're not any good. And you see them pulled out of everywhere. You can't get them anywhere except for the Krispy Kreme stores, and I think there's only two left, and I think there was four at one point in time. And so apparently there's some kind of depressed donut economy. And right around then, when was that? Maybe 8 years ago, then Donut Professor moved in. And they've got a couple locations here, and there's actually two very close to me, but they never have donuts when I go there. I go there at like noon, they don't have any donuts. Do you guys make donuts? I've never seen any donuts in there. And they're closed by like 1 or 2 o'clock. And so, okay, it's one of these places. Forget it. I think I've had their donuts before, and I remember them being fairly decent. But now, as of about a year ago, we got Dunkin' Donuts moving back in. And there's one very close to me. It's just up the street and around the corner a bit by my drugstore. And I was thinking, I should go up there and get a donut. And I don't think I'm supposed to be eating donuts. What, are they made out of flour? They got gluten in them. Maybe they got a gluten-free donut, maybe they don't. Maybe I'll just have to suffer. Maybe I'll have to just eat a whole load of enzymes and then go eat a donut. I'm not going to do it today, but when I do, I promise that I will take you along on a very special episode of Dubious Goals Committee in which Tobe eats a donut. Today's another one of those 1,000-degree days. Can't go outside, can't do anything. Gotta sit here and be in the air conditioning and make radio for the entertainment of everyone listening to me now. You're listening to Anon Radio. My name's Tobe. And I'm hoping for some rain. I gotta check the weather report, see if there's any rain coming, because this is about the time when a certain type of mushroom likes to explode. And it's a Pleurotus, one of the Pleurotus species. I forget which one. It's an oyster mushroom, and they grow on logs, and they get kind of big, and I like to get them, and I will harvest them. I don't like to eat them as much as other people, because they taste like fish, and I'm not a big fish guy. But I do like to look at them, and I like to get the mushrooms so I can take the spores and make spore oil. What do I do with the spore oil? I dip blowgun darts into it, and then I go around inoculating other logs. But we will discuss those techniques, the making of spore oil, and Fukia Jutsu another time. This is because right now we're running out of time. So, I declare this meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee adjourned, and I invite all of you to stay tuned because I noticed that today is a barnacle day, and everybody loves the Barnacle Show. We're going to find out what interesting music he's going to play for us and what interesting people he's going to call and talk to today. Thanks again. I will see you tomorrow.
Just don't care and yawning, I reply no, it's laziness, not